The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, man. Welcome to a Tuesday after an insane Monday. What happened yesterday is that's a day that I hate to use an overused phrase, but will live in infamy. This Monday, June 1st, 2020, just when you thought 2020 couldn't get any more insane, couldn't get any worse, this happened. And I'm still sort of in shock from what I watched unfold on live television. So we're watching the split screen yesterday as the camera is focused on the Rose Garden, where there's a presidential podium set up for the orange turd to make some comments. And, you know, most of us reasonable people thought that he would try to reach deep down into his whatever lives inside of him and express something known as empathy. Yeah, Donald Trump doesn't understand the word empathy. He doesn't know what it means. He's never experienced it. He certainly doesn't have those kinds of feelings. So instead, he gets up in front of the microphones, the Rose Garden. Let me back up first. Before he emerged, because they kept pushing the start time back for the statement he was going to make, the split screen showed the peaceful protest going on in Lafayette Park right across from the White House. In fact, if you've ever gotten a picture standing in front of the fence in front of the White House, you did it from Lafayette Park. That's what it's there for. It's the People's Park, by the way. And so there were people there peacefully protesting, hanging out, singing songs, chanting. And then apparently Bill Barr showed up. Yeah. And said, oh, we need to get these people out of here. Because Bill Barr, he's democracy in action, right? So, so there was a newly imposed curfew of 7 p.m. in Washington, D.C. last night. But this time it was around 6:30. So it was still about 30 minutes away from the curfew going into effect when the show of force, the National Guard, the U.S. Park Police, and the Secret Service, all of a sudden, without warning, began to attack. Yes, holding up, barricades, shields that read military police, they started to attack the people peacefully sitting, standing, occupying Lafayette Park. Here's how the Washington Post described it, because I certainly couldn't have written it any better. Reading from the Washington Post, quote, Attorney General William Barr also appeared in the park where protesters shouted at him and chanted his name with expletives. As they did, the law enforcement officers began advancing. With shields that said military police, they stood in a line, shoulder to shoulder, and moved forward every few minutes. When they knelt down, as officers around the country have been doing to show solidarity with the demonstrators, the crowd cheered. But then protesters soon realized these riot gear decked out military officers were only kneeling to put on gas masks. Moments later, law enforcement officers fired at the gathered masses. Rubber bullets hit protesters who were standing atop a bathroom that had been burned the night before. One person fell off the structure. People ran down 16th Street trying to flee the chemical canisters, spewing gases that left them coughing. Some stopped running when they started vomiting. Others yelled, "Walk, walk," in attempts to avoid a stampede. That's the segment from the Washington Post. Then we watch that unfold and we're just going, oh my God, the military is attacking American citizens, peaceful American citizens. And then the camera took us back to the Rose Garden, where with the smell, reportedly, of tear gas in the air and the sounds of flashbang grenades permeating the Rose Garden, Donald Trump stepped out of the Oval Office and up to the podium and announced he'd unleash the full force of the U.S. military on Americans in order to stop the protests. And of course, then he went on to conflate the protesters with the looters and pointed fingers at the left. Unfucking believable. I'm sorry to do this to your ears, but I have to. It's news. This is what that fucking psychopathic asshole said to the gathered reporters in the Rose Garden.
I am mobilizing all available federal resources, civilian and military, to stop the rioting and looting, to end the destruction and arson, and to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans, including your Second Amendment rights.
What? Including your Second Amendment rights? So he's saying, in essence, that sticks and bricks will get you arrested. But carrying guns? That's not only okay, that's patriotic. Are you fucking kidding me? This is how they treat peaceful protesters, and yet armed thugs show up at the Michigan State House with their assault weapons, and the police just say, oh, they're patriots. Unbelievable. Then he was just getting started. He continued.
Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled.
What?
If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
God, on so many levels, that's just wrong. When I first heard that, I'm on Twitter just tweeting away. It's like, oh my God, this asshole is declaring martial law. And when he said, I will, deploy the military, I'm like, he can't do that. He legally cannot do that. A law called the Posse Comitatus Act prohibits the domestic use of military for law enforcement purposes without specific congressional authorization. But, and there's always a but, a different law, the Insurrection Act, provides the president authorization to do just that under certain circumstances. Unreal. The Insurrection Act has been used throughout history, though not recently. The last time it was invoked was 1992 during the LA riots over the police beating of Rodney King. Though in that instance, the governor of California requested it. Obviously, no governors in states that I'd ever live in are requesting this. So if he, they could try to stop him, but rules and laws never stopped this criminal before. So watching all this unfold yesterday, as we picked our collective jaws up off the floor, Trump went into full surrealism mode. He ended his very brief Rose Garden statement, not with any questions, of course not, but he said, and now I'm going to pay my respects to a very special place. Well, I thought he was going to visit his gold-plated toilet for some more reprehensible tweeting at a big Trump, as we call taking a shit in our house, but I was wrong. Instead, flanked by Secret Service and his White House and cabinet cabal, oh, and of course, Ivanka and Jared were there, Trump walked across Lafayette Park right through the area that had been cleared moments before using military might against peaceful citizens to the historic St. John's Episcopal Church, which suffered some fire damage the night before. And Donald Trump, at his final destination, if only, posed for a picture, holding up a Bible, no less, a book that he's never read. God, he didn't go inside, he didn't pray, he didn't read a passage. Sorry, I don't know the technical Bible terms. I've not read the Bible either, but I have a reason. I don't pretend to believe it. So to reiterate, the president of the United States of America used tear gas and flashbang grenades to clear out peaceful protesters in Lafayette Park so he could have a photo opportunity at St. John's Church? Now, if you were wondering what the Episcopal Church thought of this stunt, you didn't have to wait very long. Thankfully, the person overseeing the entire Episcopalian ministry, I guess, for the D.C. area is a woman named Bishop Marianne Budde, and she spoke out quickly and forcefully.
The president just used a Bible, the most sacred text of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and one of the churches of my diocese, without permission, as a backdrop for a message antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and everything that our churches stand for. And to do so, he sanctioned the use of tear gas by police officers in riot gear to clear the church guard. I am outraged.
You're not the only one.
The president did not pray when he came to St. John's, nor did he acknowledge the agony of our country right now, and in particular that of the people of color in our nation, who wonder if anyone in public power will ever acknowledge their sacred worth, and who are rightfully demanding an end to 400 years of systemic racism and white supremacy in our country. And I just want the world to know that we in the Diocese of Washington, following Jesus and his way of love, distance ourselves from the incendiary language of this president. We follow someone who lived a life of nonviolence and sacrificial love. We align ourselves with those seeking justice for the death of George Floyd and countless others through the sacred act of peaceful protest. And I just can't believe what my eyes have seen tonight.
I just can't believe what my eyes have seen tonight. That was a bit of her interview on CNN shortly after this all unfolded. Her first statement pointed, just as that was to the Washington Post, which spread like wildfire over the interwebs. And then she went on CNN, and then she went on MSNBC, and she made her voice heard, thankfully. Bishop Budde, you rock. The whole thing is just so unbelievable. I mean, in a civilized world, none of this would happen. And then today we learned that it was either Hope Hicks or Bill Barr who came up with this genius idea. But we know it was Trump himself, and other people are covering for him, and he throws them under the bus because he is a reprehensible piece of shit. All right, it is Tuesday, and on a time like this, I could think of no other people I'd rather talk to than dear friends. So it's Tuesday, and Gotta Laugh will be here, and Amy Simon will be here. Yes, it's the glibberal goddesses. I don't think we're feeling very glib today. But the last time I was in Los Angeles in 1992 during the Rodney King riots, I worked at KLOS, which was on La Cienega Boulevard, less than a mile away from Florence and Normandy, which was ground central for a ground zero for those riots. And I'm watching the city that I still love, that I still consider home, where all my friends are, just being decimated over the last few days. So I will talk to my dear friends, Laffy and Amy, who are out there now. I called my friend Andrea, who lives just a block off the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica the other night, as I was watching the looting of the stores on the promenade happening in real time, just to make sure she was okay. I cannot believe what is going on. Now, I like to start the show with something funny. I don't have a song for you today, but I do have a bit of a monologue. Not my monologue, but Stephen Colbert, who returned from 2 weeks on vacation. I'm sure it was a staycation. Last night, and here's a little bit of the monologue he shared with us.
Well, we're back after 10 days off, and I never imagined that after 10 days, a global pandemic would not be the lead story. Remember when we were all afraid of our groceries? I miss those days. No, the story that has pushed 100,000 COVID deaths below the fold is America's pre-existing condition, racism. Protests against police targeting black people have broken out in dozens of cities. So April was global pandemic. May is massive nationwide protests over systemic racism. I assume June is a plague of locusts. Then in July, pleated pants are coming back. And it's not just U.S. citizens protesting racism in the United States. Protesters gathered in London, Toronto, even Berlin. You know it's bad when Germany thinks your country's racist.
You think?
That's like Jamaica telling you to put down the bong. These protests were sparked last Monday by the extrajudicial execution of a man named George Floyd, face down in a street in Minneapolis. Floyd died after a police officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Now, in civilized countries, that's called murder.
Yep.
The culprit is Minneapolis police officer and cop who's so dirty even his badge is crooked, Derek Chauvin. Adding to the outrage is that it took 4 days to arrest the officer, even though there's video of him doing it. Plus, the other three officers involved have not been charged with the crime. So if you're wondering why people are so upset, it's because this is so upsetting. Also, it's not an isolated incident. Floyd's death comes on the heels of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and also has eerie similarities to Eric Garner in 2014. And in that same year, there was the case of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Tamir Rice in Cleveland. All of those echo Emmett Till and the Scottsboro Boys, which happened in the context of Jim Crow, which itself was a soft relaunch of slavery. So you've really got to go back to the triangle trade, which ultimately stems from man's inhumanity to man and our essential fallen nature. So maybe start with the Garden of Eden. Actually, you know what? In the beginning, there was a single point of all matter and energy under tremendous pressure. But, you know, there's always a few bad atoms and the whole thing exploded. Whoa. Now, in times like these, we need empathetic and moral leadership. Unfortunately, we have Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Normally, during national unrest, presidents step up and address the nation's pain.
Normally.
Following the death of Michael Brown, President Obama met with activists in the White House.
Yep.
President Clinton comforted the nation with a moving address after the Oklahoma City bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Even Richard Nixon, in 1970, made a surprise trip where he spoke to students protesting the Vietnam War. Who can forget his stirring words?
We've got to come together and defeat our common enemy. The Jews I wrote down on this list.
Trump can't even match the compassion of a Nixon.
Oh, God.
Because as the protests raged on, Trump's advisors discussed the prospect of an Oval Office address in an attempt to ease tensions, but the idea was quickly scrapped for lack of policy proposals and the president's own seeming disinterest in delivering a message of unity. Okay, Mr. President, we're thinking a short, powerful speech from the Resolute Desk where you call for racial healing. I'm sorry, what's that, sir? You want to act it out with a box of Aunt Jemima? You know what? Let's scrap the whole thing. Today, Trump had a call with the nation's governors to discuss the ongoing protests, and he read straight from the authoritarian playbook.
You have to dominate. If you don't dominate, you're wasting your time. They're going to run over you. You're going to look like a bunch of jerks.
Wise and comforting words. It reminds me of what Mr. Rogers said about times of tragedy. Look for the dominators. Oh, won't you be... Oh, you will be my neighbor, you jerk. That was Mr. Rogers dominating someone.
Thank you.
Then Trump said something really scary.
You got to arrest people, you have to track people, you have to put them in jail for 10 years, and you'll never see this stuff again.
So people are upset about systemic racism and a society that over-polices and imprisons black people, and Trump's solution is to do more of that? Well, you know what they say. Those who refuse to learn from history are Donald Trump.
Yeah. And they also say, welcome to Opposite World.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
All right, it's Tuesday. You know what that means. Oops. It's Tuesday. You know what that means. Why isn't my music playing? Oh, no. Hold on. We'll try it one last time. It's Tuesday. You know... Shh, you know what that means.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, it just wouldn't be, you know, the Nicole Sandler Show if something didn't go wrong. All right, so now it's Tuesday. We bring our friend Gotta Laugh in. First, we need to get her on the line. Now, we can hear her giggling already, so there's no suspense there. But let's see. Laffy, are you there?
Oh, you reached the Trump is a racist hotline.
Yeah, I've called this number before. Yeah.
It's not even funny, and I'm laughing at Trump as a racist. Okay, press one if you think Trump's such a racist that when he does his laundry, he separates them into two piles, whites and whites.
Ba-dum-bum, wait.
Ba-dum-bum.
Okay.
Yeah. Press two if you think when Trump talked about injecting bleach, it wasn't about a COVID cure. He thought it would make him even whiter.
Oh, yes, that's right. I thought I would, you know, I was waiting for the, but we got the push too. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Recording. Okay. Please continue recording. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Press three if you think Ivanka said, Daddy told me he's the only one who can fix the race problem. It's right there in white and white. God.
Oh,
I mean, trying
God.
To write jokes.
Yeah. No.
Took us, I mean, I sat there with Mr. Laffy and I said, please help me, please. We were like knocking around different things. It took forever. We both just sat there. I said, can you think of anything that's funny right now?
No, there's nothing funny right now. There's nothing funny right now. I still am in shock. I mean, Allison was, out on the side of the house doing whatever, not paying attention to what was going on. And she walked in shortly after the photo op. And I'm just still sitting on the sofa with my jaw on the floor going, I cannot believe what just happened.
It was stunning. It was, I haven't been watching any of his pressers in the weeks and weeks and weeks because it was repetitive and it was lies and it was gaslighting. Who needs it? But this one I watched because I knew I knew something awful was coming. I kept writing on Twitter, something disturbing is about to happen, you guys. He's about to get on TV, but this is going to be more disturbing than usual.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about drinking bleach. This is just deeply, darkly disturbing. And it was everything and more, because not only was it disturbing, but then with the church photo op, it was just, and then they made an ad out of it that showed up the next day.
The Trump people did? They made an ad out of that? Like they're proud of that?
I don't know if it was the Trump people, because honestly, I wouldn't watch it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't watch it. I retweeted somebody and you could see the video and you could see it was him walking, so it was a really obvious thing. I refused to watch it. But they already did a video, some kind of an ad, yes.
Oh,
and, when you go there and you hold a Bible like you've never held a Bible in your life.
Which apparently was upside down.
Lovely. Apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Standing, and he's basically trespassing because he wasn't invited. They didn't know he was coming.
He did not have permission to do that. Nope.
No. And they do this whole thing where he's walking down, a big procession. And, it was so dictatory. Everything he's, and now with the helicopters, flying so low that it's knocking branches off trees, and all of this is terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Anyway, I have some tweets if you want to get into it so we can visit with Amy.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what that means then. We got to let loose the birdies.
The birdies.
Let loose the birdies. There they go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
So Twitter, I just got to say, has been understandably on fire today. I've got a million set aside, but let's go with yours because I'm sure you have a lot of the same ones that I pulled.
Maybe not. I only pulled about 8 or 9 because I knew Amy was coming.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But one of them is a little bit long. Also, Twitter, speaking of how they reacted, I have not seen them react like this since election night. A lot of the same initial happened.
Oops. Oh, hello. Hold on. I don't know who that is, but I guess we'll find out because I didn't turn that down. Hello, who's this? Hello?
Hi, this is Nicole?
It is. You're on the air. You got to turn down your radio.
Okay. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Okay, what's up? Who's this?
Hey, man, so this is Raymond. Hey, Nicole, listen. So my name is Raymond Jaquette, okay?
Okay.
And so I'm a black man. I'm 54 years old, and I'm from Compton, California.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I've been listening to the show for like 2 years now. Love the show.
Oh, thank
man,
you.
Man, you are hilarious. Love the show.
Thank you.
So I'm calling a comment really quickly. So you said somebody was calling you Karen. I think the last weekend or whatever.
Yeah,
somebody
on Friday.
Was calling you a
Friday
Karen
they were calling me Karen.
Shit like that. Yeah. Nicole, you are not a Karen. You're my sister. I love you. You are a fighter. And I love everything that you stand for.
Oh,
Nicole.
Thank you, Raymond.
I love the show. I love you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and you're not a Karen.
I'm not
and
a Karen.
I love you, Raymond.
And that's Laffy saying Laffy loves you too, Raymond.
Oh, hey, Laff, how are you? I'm watching you guys right now. You guys are awesome.
Hi.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate
say, Nicole,
it. Yeah.
So, like I said, you are not a Karen, and I'm standing up. I'm a 54-year-old black man from Compton, California, and I love you, and you are all right with me. And to all my black people, all my family and friends, you're not a fucking Karen.
Thank you so much. To be honest, it wasn't. I don't think it was black people calling me a Karen. I think it was mostly, you know, trolls on Twitter. So whatever. I just didn't know what the term was, and now obviously I do. But thank you. I really appreciate the kind words. And stay safe out there. You know, I was saying before in '92. When the L.A. riots happened after the Rodney King beating, I lived in Santa Monica at the time, but I worked at KLOS, and our studios at the time were on La Cienega, just north of Jefferson. So we were not far at all from Florence and Normandy when all this happened. And I'm watching the video, the news of the last few days from out in the L.A. area, and my heart is with all you guys out there. Please stay safe.
Yeah, Raymond, I'm a Californian, too.
Are you really? Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, I'm in the LA area. Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, I live in Washington right now.
Oh.
So I live in Olympia, Washington right now.
Oh, nice. That's okay.
Nice, yeah.
But things are crazy there as well.
I was born and raised in
Compton. Wow.
Well, in Seattle.
Oh.
Down in Seattle it
is. Yes, right.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, so. it's gorgeous up here. I love it. So, but I mean, I spent all my doing the riots, and you used to work for Mark and Brian. I tell you,
yes, I did.
Know Mark and Brian and all that stuff. Like
oh,
this.
Yeah. I was with them when the riots happened. So that's in '92. That I was with Mark and Brian, and the fires came like right next door to our building. It was pretty frightening. And so having flashbacks watching all the news coverage now. So I'm glad you're not there. I'm glad you're staying safe. Raymond, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Nicole, I love you. Like I say, I love you guys. I listen to your show daily.
Yay.
I go to sleep, so I put the podcast on, go to sleep with it in my ear every night.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you for that. I'm so glad you're there. Thank you. All right.
Okay. All right, Laugh. I love you guys. Laugh. You be good, too. Nice
love you,
to
Raymond.
Guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Oh, that was very sweet.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Anyway, so what I was saying was that Twitter reacted the same way it did on election night with a lot of what just happened, what was that, just sort of stunned, which I don't usually see. So that's why it's notable. And then they burst into everything you've seen on Twitter, you know, all the reactions. But anyway, getting through this quickly now.
Yeah.
I sent you some audio. Are you able
you
to
did.
Put it out?
I am. Okay. So
okay.
Go ahead.
This is from Ross Story.
Yeah.
And the audio is self-explanatory, but the headline is listen in caps, orders to shoot and run them over heard on NYPD scanner amid protests.
Okay, so this was from Brooklyn, because I did a little more research into it. 77th Precinct, Brooklyn, the police scanner out of that precinct. And here's what it said.
So we have a group of people blocking traffic on Albany and D Street. They're refusing to let the orange go eastbound on Dean Street and Albany. So we're stuck here.
Run them over.
Run them over?
Shoot those motherfuckers. Don't put that over yet.
Oh, my God.
And it was the way he said, run them over. Like, run them over. You know, what's wrong with you? Just run them over.
Right. And then the other one, hit those motherfuckers or something.
Yeah.
Don't put that over the air. Too late, buddy.
Yeah. Well, Ross Story got hold of it, so everybody has a copy of it now.
Yep.
How horrible. So that should tell you something. I'm going to read you a string of tweets from Casey Hunt.
Okay. Casey Hunt, reporter, MSNBC. Go ahead.
Yeah. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, on the president's photo op at St. John's last night. Didn't really see it.
Oh, Senator Kelly. Cop out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry?
Yeah, it keeps going. Yep.
Kelly Loeffler doesn't respond when asked if what the president did last night was appropriate. Her spokesman handed me his card. Senator Pat Roberts, Kansas. I don't have any comment on that. Rick Scott, Florida. Don't stop to talk. Does stop to talk and says we all could do better when asked if POTUS could do better. Mitt Romney, the decent
yeah,
one.
Yeah, right.
I didn't watch it closely enough to know. Mike Enzi of Wyoming. Sorry, I'm late for lunch. Marsha Blackburn, Tennessee, walks by without saying anything. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska. What we saw last night was not the America that I know. Well, you know what? Trump's not the president that we all know either. I mean, this is not the president we are used to. Let's put it that way. Dan Sullivan, Alaska, walks by with no response. Rob Portman, Ohio, I'm late for lunch. Tim Scott, South Carolina, doesn't stop at cameras here on the Hill, told reporters he already said too much. Steve Daines, Montana, I was grateful for the president's leadership. Says George Floyd was murdered, but looting is not acceptable. Ted Cruz, when asked what he saw at the White House last night was an abuse of power, by the protesters, yes.
Oh, my Bill God.
Yeah, that's the scummy one. Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, I didn't follow. I'm sorry. John Hawley, Missouri, stops to talk to cameras, says he's seen conflicting reports of what happened at the White House, says looting and violence is detracting from what should be the focus on George Floyd. Richard Shelby, Alabama, walks by with no comment. Mitch McConnell, speaking now, opens news conference by addressing the Floyd protest. Egregious wrongs have been done, much of it recorded. Then something I can't figure out what she's talking about. Then Joni Ernst of Iowa at news conference, not in response to questions. My heart hurts. Says we need to hear peaceful protesters, but, quote, we can't hear those peaceful protesters over the sound of shattering glass and splintering wood. So that, let's see if there's any more since I posted that. But you get the idea. They're all doing Sergeant Schultz. I see nothing. I hear nothing.
Circling the wagons. It's amazing. I don't know that they would come out critical of him if he were to shoot someone on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight.
Oh, and one more from McConnell. Asked if Trump's leadership was right for this moment. I'm not going to critique other people's performances.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, God. Oh, God. God. Can I? I got a song for Mitch McConnell. Just a really quick, short song.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, look, by the way, today is election day. Can I just say that if ever there were a time to get out and vote, people in Washington, D.C., Montana, Indiana, South Dakota, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island, today is election day. It is primary day. Please vote. Vote for the most progressive person running, and let's get these assholes out of office and take back our country. This is insane.
Your life depends on it.
Your life does depend on it.
In response, Nadler says he's going to, this is about Barr.
Uh-huh.
About Barr. I should show the thread. Let's open it up. DOJ rejects House Judiciary request for Barr to testify on June 9th, citing White House restrictions on testimony due to COVID-19.
Oh, God.
Assistant AG Stephen Boyd says DOJ will consider rescheduling after White House guidance expires and return a regular order to the House. So in response, Nadler says he's going to propose cutting the Barr's budget. Cutting Barr's budget by $50 million and will hold hearings with officials prepared to describe specific incidents of misconduct and the politicization of DOJ. So at least he's not being a wuss.
Okay.
That's always nice. At least he's not being a wuss.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's about as good as we can get now. Okay, this is from yesterday. Okay, so we know that Tom Cotton is a total dick.
Yeah.
And he said in a tweet yesterday, and then I'm going to give you an answer or two, and if necessary, the 10th Mountain 82nd Airborne, 1st Cav, 3rd Infantry, whatever it takes to restore order, no quarter for insurrectionists, anarchists, rioters, and looters. And he suggests that the 101st Airborne restore order. Liz Power of Media Matters says, Senator Tom Cotton suggests no quarter for rioters and looters. Historically, it means you kill people rather than arrest them. It's literally a war crime. Laura Rosen says to him, and she's the a reporter on foreign policy in the Middle East. She says, how does he want the 101st Airborne Division to accomplish that, since he specifically referenced deploying them against Americans? Because Steve Dennis said Cotton appearing to clarify with a question mark, he doesn't mean looters, rioters, and anarchists should be killed when he said they should be given no quarter.
Right.
So Laura Rosen asked, well, then, you know, what did he mean when he was saying deploy
right.
them against
exactly.
Americans? Fucking dick. Anyway, I don't usually get that in my real life. I have a mouth like a truck driver.
Yes.
I don't usually.
No,
get
I'm
like that.
I'm the one who lets loose with the F bombs here. But sometimes
I've
it's warranted.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I need to separate these tweets. So let's see if I can. Oh, I'm going to have to go back to. AG Barr has directed the Bureau of Prisons to send riot teams to Miami and Washington, D.C. to help with crowd control, ABC News reports. So then Michael Bromwich, he's a lawyer, and he's a human rights lawyer, and he said, this is a very, very bad idea. Bureau of Prisons riot teams are trained to deal with disturbances created by convicted criminals in prison facilities, not with protesters on the streets of our cities. These are worlds apart. And then Pradhan Alka, a human rights lawyer, says, anyone who knows what a Bureau of Prisons riot team is, understands that this move by Barr is intended to escalate violence against Americans. This is incredibly dangerous.
Right. And then if you believe, there are dueling reports today. The first one came out. It said, Donald Trump was so upset about, being called bunker boy or the bad press on his call to George Floyd's family or some other thing that, of course, all about him, that he was so pissed off about all the rioting happening, in D.C. and other cities, that he wanted to do this. And then today, then the next story I saw was Hope Hicks came up with the idea.
Yeah.
Then it was all Bill Barr's idea, because I guess they don't want to lay this on Donald Trump's head. It's all the buck stops there. Just saying.
Oh, it does stop there. And it was because his ego was hurt.
Yep.
His little snowflake feelings were hurt because all those reports came out that he was hiding in the bunker. That really got to him.
Yep.
And so, yes, he went a step further. And now, people are all over him about the photo op at the church. So now, he's going to do something else to escalate.
I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
Mommy.
I'm not a baby.
Okay. Okay.
We could do this forever.
Yes, we could. But Amy's standing by. So.
Okay. Okay. Lauren Fox of Fox said it would be helpful if he. This is from Patrick Toomey. It would be helpful if he would change the tone of his message talking about Trump, and then LOL GOP says, the new, I wish he wouldn't tweet so much as now, I wish he'd be more measured about how he calls for a race war. wait, what's this that came out? Fox News, Nancy Grace is challenging the charges against police in the George Floyd case. What? Why is this not a murder one?
Nancy, oh, it should be a murder one. I was like, what does Nancy Grace have to do with Fox News, first of all? And second of all,
that was a Fox News report.
Oh, I gotcha. And it should be. I mean, murder three is bullshit. It's a bullshit charge.
But they think that's how they can prove it.
So right, and they also said they can increase the charges. They just don't want to overcharge and get... you know, not they, be able
you're afraid
to
of losing the case because it's really hard to convict a cop.
I
that's
know.
What they're saying.
I know.
Elie Mystal, who we love.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see which one comes first. Okay, this one comes first. This shit is no longer complicated. What are you willing to fight for is no longer. I'm sorry. What you are willing to fight for is no longer relevant. What you were willing to die for is now the only thing that your government will notice. Mm. And then he goes on to say, I know why people keep asking, can Trump do that? If the men with guns listen to him, he can do anything he wants. Christ, Americans are so ignorant sometimes, y'all, acting like you don't even know how authoritarianism works. He was angry.
Yep. Hey, by the way, I've just been corrected. The Delaware primary was moved to July 7th. Thank you, Francie57 in the chat room. I will make a note of that. Move to 7-7. Sorry, most of these days were moved. You know, Maryland, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island are all new dates. So, you know, I did my best. But thank you for the correction. You're are a helper,
good.
Honey. Yes.
Washington Post reported this. Chief of staff for the D.C. Mayor Bowser confirmed that federal officials, including at the White House, inquired about their powers to take control of the city's police department.
Oh my God.
He said city officials objected and would mount a legal challenge if federal officials tried to do so. So it's hanging there.
That's coming. I hate saying it, but we've got to be prepared for all of this. They came this close to declaring martial law last night. You know,
absolutely.
You know. It's coming.
And probably something like that will happen in November.
Yeah.
So anyway, last one. North Carolina governor rejects GOP's demand for a full-fledged convention.
Yep. Oh, so the good news and the bad news. So crybaby Donald Trump, he wants a packed convention with 50,000 people in an arena, standing packed in like sardines, spreading COVID-19 to one another. I say, let them do it, but keep them there for 14 days so they can all get sick and have a diathon together. But now, so this is going to give Trump a reason to pull out of North Carolina and bring it to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, Ron DeRacist said he would take him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, help us all. And I don't even believe in
like
God. So, you know.
Two bad options, you know. Yeah. There isn't a good one.
No.
Anyway, that's all my tweeties because I'm being good and controlling my numbers.
Okay. Well, this is the time of the week. Then we regroup and we gather the liberal goddesses.
Amy Simon of She's History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not. And Nicole Sandler.
Hello, goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show on RadioOrNot.com combined the forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
And like magic, there she is. Amy Simon joins us. Amy, of course, the proprietress, I don't know, of She's History at sheshistory.com. She's the playwright. She's the lead actor. She's the conceiver of the storytelling. Whatever. Hi, Amy Simon.
Oh, my. How did you manage to bring a smile to my face today, woman?
I don't know. Oh, my God. So I'm seeing footage of like, Santa Monica and San Vicente Boulevard riots. I'm seeing, you know, crowds. Santa Monica Promenade, the Third Street Promenade.
Painful.
Oh my
painful.
God! I'm just, And
Hollywood.
And Hollywood. And then yesterday afternoon, I saw something on Twitter where somebody who lives in the Valley said, I've been hearing rumors all day that they, in quotes, they've been saying it's been too quiet in the Valley. We're going to hit the Valley tonight. And sure enough, last night, Van Nuys, in areas around there. What the fuck is going on? These are not the protesters, by the way. And sorry, Donald Trump, it's not Antifa. Antifa is not an organization. I'm Antifa. I'm anti-fascist. I changed my name on Twitter to anti-fascist Nicole Sandler. Anti-fascist is what Antifa is, and there are people of all shapes and stripes and sizes and colors and beliefs who are part of Antifa. A Twitter account that was flagged by Fox, and they're like, see what they're doing, was taken down, and it was found to be a group of white supremacists. There is no organization Antifa.
You know that I was walking Hammy last night, and I live in a very quiet neighborhood, and I'm out in Ventura County, and I ran into another person walking their dog, and they said, it's a good thing you're walking him now because of the curfew. I said, what are you talking about? Because it was like 4:30. And he said, yeah, we're under curfew from like 5 o'clock until 6 a.m. tomorrow. He got an alert on his phone, which I never got, which is weird.
We got one here the other night at 11 o'clock at night saying curfew is now in effect. But the rule is you can walk your dog as long as you stay within 250 feet of your front door during
that's
the curfew hours. So bring a tape measure with you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy times. Hi, Amy. So how are things where you live? Has it been safe over there?
So I'm about a mile from Fairfax and Third, where the, you know, really bad riots were, where the rioters took over the protesters. It's really important to make that distinction.
Yes.
And on Saturday, all afternoon, I heard the helicopters. They never left. And I got some, I heard from two of my friends who are activists that were at Pan Pacific Park, which is where the protest began. And they were like, where? At Pan Pacific Park, it's a beautiful, peaceful protest. 95% of the protesters are wearing masks. If you don't have one, the organizers will give you one. Come on down. It was like this beautiful thing. And then an hour later, all this crap started. And I called my friend Jill. I said, where are you? She said, I went home an hour ago. It was perfectly peaceful. I don't know what happened. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I was close. I mean, I didn't feel unsafe, but...
Well,
I mean,
something like that happened here in Fort Lauderdale. So on, I guess it was Sunday in Fort Lauderdale, it was all day long from all the reports. I wasn't there. I'm still not leaving my house. But the reports were it was a wonderful, peaceful day with singing and chanting and signs and people, you know, peacefully protesting. And then these cops came through. And one of the cops saw a woman, a black woman, kneeling. And he shoved her over, and people saw it, and they started to go after him, and the other cops pushed him away down the street, and that's what started the unrest. That cop, by the way, has since been fired, or at least suspended.
Really?
At least suspended. I'm not sure, but they did identify him. It's something with a P, and he was either suspended or fired already. So you know, this stuff cannot happen, but it's going to keep happening.
You know, this morning I was watching Anna Deavere Smith. Do you all know who she is?
Yes. Actress, yes, I saw that.
Activist, yep.
So, did you watch that interview?
I didn't see the interview, but
I
know her.
Unbelievable privilege to see her shows in person. She does one-woman shows. Twice, she was known for Twilight about the Rodney King, the riots after that. And her latest is, I think it's called Notes from the Field, and it's about the prison system. So, she's a really good one to talk to. And one thing I took away is she said that she's a hopeaholic. And that's the term she
credited
Gloria Steinem. And, you know, Gloria Steinem talks a lot about hope and plans that they're intersected. But anyway, she was really powerful. And she said something that kind of really turned my stomach. She said back, I don't know what the question was that Andrea asked her, but she said that back in 92, chokeholds were banned. They were talking about police reform. And this is exactly what she said. She said, because it was banned, that's why they had to beat him over the head with the baton so much.
Oh,
because they
God.
Couldn't use the chokehold. I was like, this is the kind of... the subject was excessive force and the use of force. That, so I kind of came in on the middle of that conversation, but that was what they were discussing. And to hear that graphic description, I mean, and even today, the mayor Garcetti was talking about police reform in the city and what they're doing, training, racial training and mentoring. And, you know, I mean, everybody's scrambling to figure out a way how to deal with this.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, these are things that the training should have happened years ago. It's too little too late, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
You got, and I don't mean, I'm not saying all cops. I hate generalizing. I get angry when people overgeneralize. But in this case, what we're seeing, just the footage, I feel like I need to, just from the tweets that I put aside, video after video after video of cops just assaulting peaceful protesters for no good reason. It's not okay. We're seeing video of cops using their shields and shoving people on bikes and being harped to reporters. I mean, what they're doing to journalists who are live on TV. It's just astounding.
But there are those that are kneeling with the protesters.
There are.
Trying.
Yes, however, I want to stop you right there because that's what a lot of people are talking about. And then I hear from Touré, from he used to be on MSNBC, you know who Touré is. Yeah. And then I some people that we know, Nicole, from our emails, that say, and then 15 minutes later, those very same cops who were kneeling get up and start getting abusive.
Yep, that's true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, such a Pollyanna.
You know, and in some places, the cops are great because they're embedded in the community. They know the people. They're marching with them. But in places, in other places, that's not the case at all. And it's just frightening. And I wonder, you know, how many of these cops are Trumpers? You know, they're so power crazed that this is okay with them. And you know, anyone who's protesting is bad news. You know, I listen to Trump and I listen to Barr and I listen to their screaming. It's the radical left, you know, left radical and Antifa. And it's like, stop it already. It is a lot of white supremacists who are doing this. And there are cops. There's been video of cops planting just batches of bricks left in places where, gee, looters might show up. There was a video that showed police officers, I think in Minnesota, placing those bricks, just leaving them there. So they're how convenient. There was one that in the early go round that broke a window and he was identified. I don't have it offhand and I don't remember his name, but this cop was identified and he was the one who started the looting by breaking a store window.
Oh my God.
You got to wonder what is wrong with these people. And maybe this is what they've been waiting for.
Oh, I think, you know what? I think that's absolutely valid. I know it's what Trump's been waiting for.
Yeah.
And you know, if they're supporters of Trump, then it's what they've been waiting for.
Yep. You know, I saw a tweet. Let me share this with you. That a guy who's a reporter for WTOP Radio in Washington, D.C., he tweeted, a source says tear gas was never used, talking about in Lafayette Park last night. Instead, smoke canisters were deployed, which don't have an uncomfortable irritant in them. And the source says park police didn't know President Trump would be walking across the park several minutes later. And so a few other people called him out, too. But yes, Garrett Haig from MSNBC. And I tweeted, so WTOP is in the practice of lying on behalf of a corrupt administration? Is Hubbard Broadcasting aware of this propaganda? Because I don't think the parent companies of some of these broadcasters would be thrilled to know what their reporters are pushing and calling news.
Good that you did that. Well, Garrett Haig called him out and showed the video and said, you know, it's on TV, guys.
Yep.
And then whoever it is
T-O-P.
Apologized to him.
Did they? WTOP apologized? Oh, good to know.
They thanked him for the correction and you know, said, oh, sorry, you know, what, can you tell us more or something? I didn't read the rest of the thread after the first sentence, but it was a good ending to that little moment. But Garrett Haig had to get out there and issue a big correction and nail them.
Good. Oh, I'm glad.
There's so much.
Yeah, because Garrett Haig wrote, "Hey, Neil, I was there. Tear gas was definitely used, and park police can't stop that. There was no object throwing before the mounted park police moved in. Don't want to tell you how to do your job, but using a background source to deny observable fact seems like a bad call. You
there
think?
You
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still blown away by, and then did you hear about the defense, the Secretary of Defense Esper, who said he didn't know. Their understanding was that they were walking out of the White House to walk through Lafayette Park to review efforts to quell the protests. So Esper saying he had no idea they were going over to the church. Really? So then why did you get in that photograph? Why did you stand there? And wasn't he the one in combat fatigues? Like, really? So you just dressed up for the party for the hell of it?
He also was he said something yesterday that was completely Trumpian, and now I can't recall, but it was like, oh, it was the dominate.
Yes, dominate.
It was the dominate
we're
line.
Dominate.
Yeah. Dominate. What is he? Got a whip and high heels?
Yeah. No, that was Ivanka. Apparently Ivanka walked across to the church in her high heels, in her fuck me pumps.
Daddy, I'm getting in my dominate trick suit. Daddy, should I wear black or
wait,
red?
Hold on. Esper, it was a Joint Chiefs of Staff chief who was in the fatigues. It wasn't Esper. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
I hate getting something wrong. I knew one of them was wearing military fatigues. Like, what the fuck is that about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I wanted to say this is so like heartbreaking for me, but have you seen the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary?
Yeah, the RBG. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, RBG, and hopefully your listeners have. And at the very, it's either at the very beginning or the very end, she says this quote, which I'm going to read to you. She says, "All I ask of our brethren is that they will take their feet from off our necks."
Oh,
wow.
And that she's quoting a woman named Sarah Grimke from the early 1800s. I mean, I'll just do a real quick. The Grimke sisters were abolitionists and anti-slavery. They were born in South Carolina to slaveholders. They became anti-slavery people, and they were kicked out of their home and moved to Philadelphia. And, you know, Sarah Grimke is a little famous for saying that. Her sister's even more famous, Angelina, because she was the first woman in America to address a legal body. She addressed the South Carolina legislature, and, you know, she's very well known in the women's history world. And the two of them were just amazing. You know, Sarah secretly taught her slave how to read when she was like 10 years old. I mean, their story is just, it's kind of filled with, you know, courage and hope. And it just, when I put it together, you know, the whole on the neck, you know, the whole friggin' George Floyd situation, I just kept thinking of that quote and how long this battle has been fought. Mm-hmm. I mean, these women were born in 1805 and 1807, and they, you know, lost their home and, you know, whatever. They married and spent their entire life fighting against slavery. And this was in the 1800s. And I just keep hearing that quote and seeing Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying it and things that assholes foot on, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yep.
Well, speaking of amazing women, I'm going to totally do a 180 on you.
Okay.
Sarah Cooper.
She's the one. Oh. She's hysterical. This is a comedian. And the videos of hers that have cut through, and the reason I haven't played them is because they're so visual, and this is first and foremost a radio show. She lip syncs to Donald Trump's ridiculous statements, and watching her and her expressions, she's hysterically funny, but it really doesn't work for radio because all you hear is Donald Trump's heinous words.
Right. That's not funny
right.
at all.
Exactly.
Well, she got a big write-up in the LA Times
Did
today,
she?
And I love the title of the headline, "Trump blocked comedian Sarah Cooper on Twitter. Now she calls him her head writer."
Oh, I can't wait to read the paper.
Her.
I have it right here.
Oh, that's
here.
Awesome.
It's on the front page of Calendar, Amy.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's very cool. All right, I want to share one more tweet with you guys because this came from, oops, hold on. I just lost Amy's picture there for a second. I will tell you, I got to find it on this other computer. Oh, damn it, I just had it here. Okay, from Brad Howard. Brad Howard is the chief of staff for Congresswoman Steph Murphy. And she wrote, Marco Rubio tweeted, many in the media fell for the calculated and deliberate tactics of professional agitators. They knew the street needed to be cleared before 7 p.m. curfew, but they deliberately stayed to trigger police action and get the story they wanted that, quote, police attacked peaceful protesters. So the chief of staff to Congresswoman Murphy wrote, Senator, I was there. They shot flashbangs and tear gas at us at 6:35 p.m., 25 minutes before the curfew. Also, the president could get a photo op. Your loyalty to this president instead of your oath to defend our constitutional rights is a disservice to all Floridians. Well, amen.
Right.
Fuck you, little macro.
Right. God. This is me applauding, if you can hear it.
I'm applauding with you.
Yeah. I don't know what we say here. Just that we need to stick together. We need to stay peaceful. We need to stay focused. The target is November 3rd, getting that fucker out of office and taking back our country and sending all of these people to the cornfields.
Oh, yes. Forever.
Forever. All right. We're at the end of the hour. So, gotta laugh. Find her on Twitters. At Gotta Laugh, Amy Simon, sheshistory.com for the most dangerous women in America then and now. And, of course, here on Tuesdays for the Glib Real Goddesses. And me, you know, we're here every day. NicoleSandler.com. Thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Really, stay safe, okay? All right. Bye.